analytic continuation, or the choice of integration controllers, if you want, or path integrals in D-dimension. And in particular, I claim that the A3s of the DNA class 4 theories can be seen as controlling the analytic continuation of path integral for some two-dimensional systems, which are systems of possibly gauged symplectic bosons. So today I would like to discuss the theory of symplectic bosons. So let me first discuss it without gauging, and then I will gauge it. So take C2N with a symplectic form. Locally, it's going to be something like the P, the Q. Or maybe the X, the Y. Let's say that. So I just denote the coordinates here as something like this, and a symplectic form. Something like that, the inverse of the symplectic form. And the inverse of the symplectic form is something with higher indices. Anyway, so the action for the symplectic bosons looks like that. So these are maps from the Riemann surface into C2N. And the equations of motion, I'm just telling you, these maps are holomorphic. You should compare this action with the action for free fermions. Which is very similar, except that because of the Grassmann nature, fermions are defined with a symmetric pairing, while synthetic bosons are defined with a synthetic form. In particular, the theory of synthetic bosons has an SP2N symmetry, while the theory of fermions has an SON. Symmetry. Let me call this just SPN. Now, the theory of fermions is definitely a two-dimensional conformal field theory of Carroll fermions. It's a true two-dimensional theory. It doesn't require any three-dimensional bulk to be well-defined. These are Grassmann variables. There is no reason to worry about integration controllers, if you want. And if you study some conformal field theory, you know very well how to do calculations in this theory. What are possible calculations you might want to do? Well, one is the partition function or correlation functions on some Riemann surface. So you do a path integral. It's a Gaussian path integral. And what you get is essentially 1 over the square root of the determinant, is 1 over the Pfaffian, or the bar operator. Sorry, not 1 over, just the Pfaffian of the bar operator. You can do concrete calculations, but I'll discuss it later. This theory also has a, but anyway, there is a very well-defined answer, which is always well-defined. It might have zeros. So let me say it better. So this action, in order for this action to make sense, the fermions have to be spinors, mathematically are sections of K. Of the canonical bundle on the Riemann surface. So this theory is defined on Riemann surfaces. Equate to the spin structure. If your spin structure is even, the Del Bar operator has no zero mode, and is just a number. If the spin structure is odd, then the Del Bar operator has a zero mode, and this integral vanishes. But you have no vanishing correlation of functions. For example, you can consider a Riemann surface and insert one psi, a bunch of psi's. As long as you insert enough psi's so that you sort of soak up the zero mode into that integral, you get a non-zero answer, which is well defined. Okay. Now, what happens if I try to do the same thing in this theory? So again, as I said, these are also defined on a space structure, on a Riemann surface, equate to the spin structure. So the disruption is well defined. But the difference is, and again, if I just do the path integral, I get an answer very similar to that, except that I'm integrating, it's a Gaussian path integral on bosons. So I get 1 over the determinant of the Del Bar operator. But see, the bad feature of this 1 over the determinant is that if the determinant has zero mode, this blows up. So the standard path integral on the standard integration contour, if you want, has troubles on a Riemann surface with odd spin structure. So this is the first time that this theory might not be quite a perfectly good two-dimensional theory. If you try to define conformal blocks in a way that generalizes the discussion we had in the previous section for exponential integrals, meaning that you try to solve the world identities for this, in a full BV formalism, meaning that you add anti fields and you impose the equations of motion as a complex, then what happens is that you will find cohomology, but not in degree zero. So you will not find solutions with identities in the standard sense, but you'll find complicated obstructions to solutions I cannot think of obstruction. I think it's obvious in this sense. Anyway, you'll find cohomology in Gauss number in non-zero Gauss number. So in a sort of a physical way, if you introduce some anti-fields and you do your BV formalism, as far as I know, what you find is that the correlation function on the Riemann surface, the non-vanishing correlation function on the Riemann surface involve at least an insertion of a bunch of anti-fields. But I don't want to go into the BV formalism, and also I'm not an expert in the BV formalism, so I don't want to stress this fact much. If people in the audience that are much more knowledgeable than me about these things, but all I know is that things go wrong on a odd spin structure, and there must be a way to make sense of things, in the sense that if I want to be able to do things like cut and paste Riemann surfaces, I cannot just surrender as soon as I see an odd spin structure, because maybe at a Riemann surface with even spin structure, when I cut it, has an odd spin structure. I think that can happen. So there must be some way to make sense of this. The way to make sense of this is essentially not to integrate over the zero mode, right? To use an integration contour where you just don't integrate over the zero mode.
So the odd spin structure is the Raman sector?
On a circle, yes, but I'm talking about the surface. On a torus, this would be the Raman sector.
I was wondering if this underlies the problem when people say that string theory does not make sense in Raman backgrounds.
No.
It's not the same thing.
I don't think so, but I would have to think about it more carefully before I say it. No, I don't think so. Although, right, as you're saying, there is a beta gamma system in theory.
Yeah.
And if it's relative on Raman's. No, okay. Not for this. Talk, but we should discuss. Anyway, so what I'm saying is very concretely, right? So if, what is this path integral? If I expand my field in eigen functions for the Laplacian operator, this is just a bunch of finite dimensions, anyway, a bunch of integrals over the various remodes of the fields. And an integral over the zero modes, and then some quadratic action. Which vanishes for the zero modes. So one way you can make sense of this integral is just not to integrate over the zero modes. So the fact that you have not included So you're picking an integration contour which is sort of not fully dimensional. It's in one dimension lower, so it's living in a cohomological degree, which is not zero. So you can see that you need interesting integration contours to make sense of this theory, and so. It's the first thing that you need a three-dimensional theory to that this leads to make full sense of this. It's better to put it as the boundary of a 3D theory.
Sorry, I think the same thing can be said about say massless real massless
scalars,
because then you have zero mode and then you have integration over zero mode, things plot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But so it has. Doesn't seem to have anything to do with the fact that the action is holomorphic.
That's
right.
Okay, so so on even spin structures, this is just a one-dimensional space of Hom blocks given by this integral. On all spin structures, things become more derived and complicated. This message that I'm trying to deliver in this board. Another thing you can do, which is enriches this, is to observe that this SON symmetry is actually associated to an SON current algebra. I mean, you can sort of try to use the SSN symmetry to twist your partition function, introduce coupling to a non-trivial SON flat connection. But it turns out that the answer only depends on the formation of the bundle. So you can replace your action with something like del bar plus a bar, right? But this is some connection for SON, and which is kept for now fixed, the grand connection. And you can try to redo the calculation. And now you will get an answer which is sort of fibered over the space of possible holomorphic connection, the space of bundles, of S1 bundles. If you, this connection couples to current, WCW currents, Kasmudi currents, affine currents for S1. Which have level 1. So the fact that you have these currents is interesting because it means that if you compute something, you're like, so mathematically, it means that the space of conformal blocks is a bimodule on the space of bundles. Meaning, if you know how to compute correlation functions for some value of the of your connection, and you want to compute it for a nearby value of connection, this is the same as doing the calculation with an extra insertion of the currents. So you know how to take the derivative of your correlation functions with respect to the connection without introducing any extra ingredients, because on the right hand side you have again a correlation function. So in the case of fermions, so the path integral, this again the Pfaffian, but now the Del Barre operator couples to the connection. And this is not quite a function, but it's a line bundle, it's a section of a line bundle. A line bundle whose curvature, which has non-trivial curvature, which is 1. The fact that this is a section of a line bundle is, which is non-trivial, is connected to the fact that these currents have non-trivial level.
So for the conformal block, won't I say that it's a section of a vector bundle?
But it's a true theory. So there is only one conformal block, the partition function. It's not a function, it's a section of a line.
But you said it would be something more complicated, like a D-module?
Well, it's a D-module with a unique section.
Okay.
Right. It's a line bundle with a flat connection. Right.
But why do we need to talk about
B-modules
is what I'm...
You don't. To make mathematical sense of some of the statements I want to make, I think the language of B-modules is the correct one. And also for applications to geometric Langlands and to other... But you don't need to use that language. It's a section of a line bundle with a natural connection given by the insertion of current.
Which is not a flat connection. It's just a connection.
It's a line bundle with a holomorphic, with a del. With an holomorphic, with a prescription of how to take holomorphic derivatives. So it's a flat connection. Now, if I try to do the same thing here, well, now I will have to use an SP, an SPN bundle. There are currents again. The difference is that this expression is anti-symmetric, right? Which makes sense for S1N. This expression is symmetric, which makes sense for SPN. These currents have level 1/2. minus 1/2, sorry, minus 1/2. It is not integral, which leads to all sorts of shenanigans. Ultimately, is related to something. It's closely related to the metaplectic anomaly, but I'll get there. Now the answer is going to be again the something like that. And things become a bit more interesting in the sense that this operator now typically has no zero modes as a function of the bundle. But for some special bundles, it gets zero modes. So now this becomes a function on or a section of a bundle on band G, but which blows up on a certain locus. The locus where there are non-trivial sections of k^(1/2), then so we could have a bundle. So I don't know what a good way to draw band G is. there is an interesting locus which is able to intersect itself in very complicated ways. Away from this locus, there is just a one-dimensional space of four blocks, a one-dimensional partition function. Everything is well defined. But at this locus, the answer diverges. And I think in the language of D modules, you would say that this is a D module with some twisted D module because this one half, with a regular singularity along this theta divisor.
Regular. Why?
Because it's one over. Well, I think it's regular, but I might be wrong. So locally, if you want to think about a finite dimensional integral, I think a local model near this divisor is that it has some like Gaussian integral of this sort. And I want to think about it as a D module on this parameter A. And right, if I just do the integral, I get 1/√(a). So I have a square root singularity. But it's a fun exercise to sort of solve world identities for an integral like this as a function of A and sort of get interesting complexes with jump at A equal to 0. But it's not my field of expertise. Now, all of this is rather abstract because it's difficult to be to explicitly solve world identities on the Riemann surface. It can be done, but you need to be able to find solutions of, for example, to compute the propagator of one other bar on the Riemann surface. But a lot of the problems and interesting features that appear here globally can be also recovered if you look locally at the actual vertex algebra and its module. So I'm going to focus on that, more algebraic, more easier to wrap your head around. And then I'll come back to this. So what are the modules for the vertex algebra of fermions, of three fermions? So modules are space of states, tentative space of states on a circle. And because we have a spin theory, we need to specify the spin structure on the circle is even or odd. So there is what's called in physics an S sector, which is the bounding structure, and the Ramon sector, which is non-bounding structure. In the universe where two sectors, the field is expanded in modes with half integral. Okay, and you have, so the basic OPE of this theory manifests itself into a Clifford algebra of modes. I have and I have positive and negative modes. There are no zero modes, and a very simple commutation relation between positive and negative modes. There is only one highest weight module. It's defined for the vacuum, which is annihilated by all the positive modes. And by the descendants of this vacuum. So the module is the vacuum module. This theory is a Fock space built out of the distribution operators, the model psi with negative degrading. And it's just unique. Now, if I look in the Ramon sector, I have an expansion in integral mode. And now the commutation relations are the same, but now I have zero modes. Form a nice Clifford algebra. In order to define a nice highest weight vector, I need to find first of all a module for this Clifford algebra, and then act and then induce a module for the whole thing. And luckily, there is a unique module for the Clifford algebra. As I mentioned, 2 to the n over 2. It's a bunch of states such that psi A act. Zero in this state is a gamma matrix. So I'm happy. I have a unique module in the Lebesgue sector and a unique module in the Ramon sector. This is intimately connected to the fact that this is a true two-dimensional theory, not a relative theory. So, for example, if I want to compute the partition function on some complicated Riemann surface, well, I can just cut, insert the complete basis of states, and sum. And there is no ambiguity in doing that. If I cut on the Lavoisier circle, I insert this vacuum module. If I cut on the Ramon circle, I insert this vacuum module.
Can you just repeat what you said really quick about the two different modules? So one of them, you found this Clifford algebra inside
yes.
is the zero modes, and then you
That's
used
right.
up your visible rep of the Clifford algebra.
That's right.
And then what was the other construction?
In the other construction, I have no zero modes. So I just take the trivial representation of the trivial algebra and then use.
Oh, I see. And sorry, and then what for the NS versus R, which one has the zero modes?
Ah. See, these are has psi zero.
I just didn't know the labeling of R
yes.
versus NS. Yeah.
So what happens here? Well, in the Lebesgue sector, there is no confusion. There are no zero modes. I can get a nice vacuum and things built out of the vacuum. There is a Fock space, a bosonic Fock space in part of the lab. Ramon sector, now I have a while algebra of zero modes. So to define a module in the Ramon, the highest weight module in the Ramon sector, I will have to induce from the module the while algebra. And now there are a lot of modules for the while algebra. And there is no particularly nice one. I mean, there are no canonical one. For example, there is no module that preserves the basic true symmetry. So there is a big nice category of modules for the while algebra. It's also the category of the modules from C. I don't know what's a good name. Well, while modules. And for each of these, I can induce a Ramon module for the synthetic bosons. Now, those which have a way to think about modules for the, you know, the one algebra is a quantization of the algebra functions from C2N. A way to think about these modules is they quantize Lagrangians in C2N. So these are roughly A brains. Or BAA brains in C2N. So there are a lot of them. Even if I just have a single copy of the synthetic boson, so that I have C2, and even if I try to look at very simple Lagrangians, I will still have planes, whatever planes I want inside C2. In other words, even if I have a pair of symplectic bosons, Z1, Z2, and that's it, I can define a sort of a module which is annihilated by the zero model Z1, and then the whole Fock space. But I could also define a module which is annihilated by the zero model Z2. These are both nice. I wouldn't know which one to pick, right? Or I can just have something which is annihilated by linear combination. What should be on it? This corresponds to sort of a plane issue. And you can already have a lot of fun playing with these modules. For example, you can ask yourself, where does lambda live and how does this module depend on lambda? Lambda naturally lives on CP1. There's actually a way to deform modules to nearby values of lambda by using the currents. But it turns out if we think about this module as varying over CP1, you get a very strange features. For example, if you start from this vector plus, you can deform it into something like this. You can do it to the e to the lambda z0 squared. And this behaves much like lambda. Right, if I act with z, minus. Right, if I act with z10 on this, it will not kill it, but instead it will take a derivative respect of z0, pull down the lambda z0. And so this object will satisfy the same condition as this. I could try to do the same starting from the opposite module. And this would give me another candidate for this, for sort of a way to realize this model and lambda inside this model and minus. But if you look carefully enough, you'll discover that I don't remember the correct sign, but you find some funny relation like that. So these modules are not really bearing nicely on CP1. There are some square roots as you try to go from the north to the south hall of CP1. These square roots are intimately connected to the fact that this level is -1/2. But that's to say that even looking at just, you know, very basic modules for a single pair of synthetic bosons, you can get into quite some fun complications.
So they're not living in a bundle on CP1?
They live in a twisted bundle. So they get O1 or O1/2.
Okay.
Which has some very concrete consequence, right? Suppose that now I try to do calculations with this module.
How about the other modules of synthetic bosons that correspond to different picture numbers? They all isomorphic to modules induced from zero modes?
Well, here I was trying to keep everything highest weight, so I don't want the unbounded dimensions. So you use it to the beta gamma system, which is sort of, so here it's like having picture 1/2 for the gamma system. You could look at other pictures and things would be more, it would be bigger. You could try to enlarge this category of modules to situations where the modes with positive power do not annihilate the highest rate vector. But that would
do spectral flows.
Yes, it does spectral flows, and that's right. The point I wanted to make was the following. Right. Suppose I look at something like a four-puncture sphere, and I place my four of these Ramon sectors at 4 points of the sphere. The points z1, z2, z3, z4. Okay. This is very nice calculation that physicists can get into, right? Study the correlation functions to the synthetic bosons in the presence of four Ramon modules. Well, you might hope to get, so this will give you some function of the z's and of the lambdas. And, well, you can ask yourself, is this going to be really a function of the lambdas, or a section of some complicated bundle on the space of lambdas, or what? And this sort of statements already suggest that things have to be funny. Right? Because with slightly different definitions, I might get the roots of lambda popping out. Now, what happens is that when you try to solve the world identities for this problem, generically you have no zero modes, but for special values of the lambdas, there will be zero modes. So this gives you a very computable version of that picture. Now I have a space of lambdas, and there will be a locus inside there, where this has some square root singularities. And if you really do your solve your identities in the derived way with anti-Gauss and all that, you will find an interesting module on the space of lambdas, which is twisted and has some regular singularity. And it's a very concrete calculation. I mean, how would you address a calculation like that? Well, suppose I try to look at a one-point function of the alphas. Sorry, the positions I should have called in W's. My bad. Well, we know that we have to have square root cuts at the location of the WIs. We also know, looking at the definition of the modules, well, I didn't write the expansion in mode, but it is, that my Z can have a 1 over square root behavior at the location of the Hamming insertions. The 1 over square root behavior whose coefficient is the zero mod of Z. And so this, you know, I have to have some relation like this that tells me that the coefficient of the 1 over square root behavior of Z1 is proportional to the coefficient of the square root behavior of Z2, to the proportionality constant, which is the lambda for that point. So, okay, well, you just basic complex analysis. I'm going to write something like square root of product of W minus WI. This is supposed to be a section of k to the 1/2, so it can only behave like 1 over z. So if it behaves like 1 over z at infinity, it's regular at infinity. So on top, I have a polynomial of degree, these are four insertions, square root of polynomial degree 4, this is degree 2. I want to go like 1 over z at infinity. So I guess I can have only something like that. So I have 4 degrees of freedom. And then I have four constraints, at each, one at each of the punctures. And so I'm going to get the linear constraints. I'm going to get just one solution. Sorry, I'm doing it wrong. Right, because there should be no zero mode. Sorry, I had to redo it a bit more carefully. Trying to remember. No, I think that's okay. Anyway, invitation to do this calculation. My point is that somehow, so a way to think about this is that the word identities away from these points essentially give you an A brain a complex Lagrangian sum manifold in the space of zero modes at the punctures. Then at each puncture we have some other Lagrangian or the A brain, which is defining which module I'm using there. So the final answer for the space of four blocks will be the intersection between this brain and the brains that define the module. So if I place here module labeled by some Lagrangian 1, module labeled by some Lagrangian 2, module labeled by some Lagrangian 3, module labeled by some Lagrangian 3, 4, this would be the intersection, so the homes from a certain BAA brain that depends on the coordinates of the insertions, and L1, and so L2, and so L3, and so L4. So you see that, you know, if, as you try to do calculations in the setup, very soon you get into quite some interesting homological algebra. You need to do calculations with, you know, the modules, or if you want modules for the wide algebra. And you can use this intuition even to get to complicated Riemann surfaces, because if I want to and then the space of conform blocks of, say, a genus two Riemann surface near a point where the surface degenerates. If I'm cutting along Ramon circle, what I need to do is essentially to take this Lagrangian again and sort of intersect it with a bunch of diagonals, intersect it with itself, with the condition that the zero mode here is the same as the zero mode here.
Can you talk a little bit more about how positions of the insertions determine the BAA grain?
Well, here is your. So you just read out the value of this expression near each of the functions. So this behaves as some.
That's a formula that works no matter what you're
inserting. That's right.
What modules you insert.
That's right.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just,
right. So you define, you have two coordinates at each function expressed as a linear function of four coordinates. And you can check this is actually Lagrangian.
Right.
Or the number of insertions. So
what do you have to do to get something like the canonical coisotropic? So like you do like one insertion or something?
No, you don't.
Or you can't get something like that?
Well, I mean, that would be like using the wild algebra as a module of itself, right?
But that would never be this one. So.
All right, so even starting from the message I'm trying to transmit here is that starting from this very innocent theory of beta gamma system or synthetic bosons and trying to do calculations, the moment you have to accept the existence of Ramon modules, a lot of fun things happen. There's a whole category of Ramon modules. And when you start computing correlation functions for four blocks, you get into things like, into categorical operations in the category of modules for the wild algebra. And this is even before you start gauging. Now, let me try to use 10 minutes to discuss sort of things that happen when you gauge. So formally, we would like to do a path integral like this. If you sort of apply the analytic continuation of the path integral technology, you get a 3D theory, which is just a 3D initial four gauge theory. So this goes, well, this becomes a 3D connection, and this becomes a bunch of 3D hypermultiples. Now, in order to study a path integral like this, you need to get fixed, introduce ghosts, and so on. So. So what you need to do is take your synthetic bosons and add a bunch of ghosts valued in the Lie algebra of whatever gauge group you want to gauge. Okay. And then you do a BRST procedure with some BRST charge, which is a standard form of so it's going to have a contraction in the cost and the currents, and then some BCC term. Now it turns out that this BRST charge, as it is not nilpotent. There is an anomaly. The anomaly is essentially, you know, this level that we saw here. When you embed whatever gauge group inside your SPN, you get some level for that gauge group, some minus k, which depends on whatever representation you have on the multiplex. And that supercharge, so this BRST charge only is proportional to k plus 2h. So unless the level is minus 2h, you have some trouble. If the level is smaller than 2h, this problem can be resolved by adding some extra fermions. See, the bosons will give you some negative level. The fermions will add some positive level. You can try to adjust things so that the level that comes from the Z's plus the level that comes from the fermions is equal to minus 2H. Adding the fermions does not bother at all the three-dimensional theory. The fermions are just a 2D. A well-defined 2D theory, but they don't need analytic continuation, so adding them to the boundary does not affect the statement that this theory, this path integral is controlled by the 3D matrix. It's fine. And once you do that, you can proceed. You have now a differential graded vertex algebra where you have this synthetic bosons, you have the fermions, the BNC system, and you have this BRST charge. That acts as a differential. And now, if you proceed as a physicist, you just take the cohomology of this and find a new vertex algebra. And study conformal blocks of this vertex algebra. Alternatively, you can sort of stay in this description and do calculations in this description. In fact, we got how to define correlation functions of BRST invariant operators in this description. I do not know why the two procedures give the same answer, under which conditions the two procedures give the same answer. But typically they seem to, but it's based on very scant evidence. So one of the main questions I've always for the audience, for the mathematicians is the audience is, when is the computing conformal blocks in this picture is the same as computing conformal blocks in the homology for the vector subset. But anyway, let's try to do both. So, physically, how do we do these two things? To do that, I would like to just write the OPEs of this new vertex algebra and then try to solve the world identities on the Riemann surface. Look at one-point functions, two-point functions, three-point functions, four-point functions, and try to have them all compatible with OPEs. This is the standard definition of conformal blocks.
So the answer will depend on what you add to cancel the number?
Yes, yes.
Is there any interesting way?
No. again, presumably not. But it's not obvious. But what do I do if I'm here?
So how do you compute correlation functions that are BRST invariant for this theory? The only, you might have some experience in doing these things if you do this string theory. String theory, right, you learn how to compute string amplitudes out of CFT amplitudes by inserting ghosts and integrating over the space of possible compass structures. Here you need to do something similar. There are, again, zero modes for the ghosts that require insertion for the big ghosts. So if I try to compute a correlation function on a Riemann surface with a bunch of operators, I will also have to deal with to add a bunch of B insertions to soak up the ghost zero modes. Now, in string theory, these B insertions were naturally paired up with deformations of the compact structure, the Kramer differentials. Here, they're naturally coupled to deformations of the bundle. So you do something like an integral of B contracted with some variation of the of your connection. And what you get is a form on band G. A closed form. And to make sure that BRST exact things cancel out, when you do BRST variation here, it shifts this form by an exact form. So the correct way to get a BRST invariant thing is to integrate on some cycle in band G, some top dimensional cycle, this correlation function. So just in the same way as in string theory, we get a form on the modelized space of Riemann surface. Now in string theory, you have both left and right movers, so you get really a top form. Here you get the holomorphic form. Only have del z's, not the z bars. And so you integrate it over a middle dimensional cycle. So if I were to do calculations by hand in this description, my answer for what are the conformal blocks of the gauge case would be, well, take this expression. This is a section of some bundle on band G with some square root singularities on some locus. And, well, find some integration contours which avoid these singularities and integrate. So presumably the space of conformal blocks is controlled by the space of paths in, you know, the homology in band G, minus the theta divisor, something like that. I can do calculation. I can do this quite explicitly on simple examples like the torus. Not familiar enough with Argentinian geometry to explicit calculation there. But still, I think it's a nice natural question. Like, and as far as I understand, the mathematical version of this theory would be to do something like the RAM cohomology on band G, valued in the module of conformal blocks that I can see.
So gamma is a function of the OIs? Gamma depends on the operators you're going to choose?
It should not, but no, that's right. No, it won't. I don't think so.
As you choose the operators, the singular locus might change, right? As you...
Not really. So the singular locus depends. I mean, if you insert, if this operator is just polynomials and beta gammas, no. I think if you try to insert non-trivial modules, that's a different matter. If you try to insert non-trivial modules, you need to work with sort of a controversial band G where you have maybe parabolic bundles or
you know, the sort of degrees of freedom like lambda here get incorporated inside bang G. So this, if you insert some own modules around, you have to enlarge the space. More interesting, of course. But it should not depend on the insertion of operators.
So is gamma a choice you make?
Yes, and different choices will give you different conformal blocks.
So is there something like Morse theory picture or gamma like weight?
Perhaps, I do not know. Bang is a pretty complicated space. I mean, suppose I do this on a torus for, I don't know, E1. Then I have the space of Jon bundles on the torus is itself a torus. And now I have perhaps some singularities around where integrand diverges. And I can do a variety of things, right? I can integrate on the A cycle, or I can integrate on a B cycle. I can integrate around one of the singularities. And they all give me different answers. And I, in concrete examples, I can actually match them to concrete conformal blocks. But should I believe that this is always going to give me the same answers as this? I'm not sure. So the only example where I worked out things in detail is the case where the gauge group is U1. And there is a single hypermultiplier. And perhaps if I can have 2 minutes, I can discuss that.
I'm gonna stop here.
Okay, then if I can have a couple hours. So I want to take U1 as a gauge group. And I want to take my matter to be just a pair of hypermultiplets, which are denoted just as x and y. And this is charge 1 and minus 1 under the U1. The U1 current is xy, has level minus 1. So I'm going to add to it, I'm going to add a pair of fermions. Which have to bring the level to 0, where I can do Bielski reduction. So I have x and y, I have psi and chi, and I have b and c. The most basic gauge invariant combinations, like Bielski closed. As far as I know, the Bielski homology is generated by the following two fields, which are x, psi, x, chi, and y, psi. These have dimension 1/2 and plus 1/2 equal to 1. 1/2 plus 1/2 equal to 1. So the sections of k is the section of k to 1/2. They have currents. The OPE is the OPE of a PSL 1/1 current algebra. Because both the fermion and the synthetic bosons are sections k to 1/2.
Okay.
So the problem is k. So this is an interesting theory with an interesting category of modules. Because there are zero modes for this term. Which forms an exterior algebra. So this is modules which are induced from modules of an exterior algebra. two generators. Now, suppose I want to do, for example, I compute, when I compute the partition function on torus. Well, what would this integral look like? Well, the symplectic bosons will give me a partition function, which is 1 over the theta function, where z is a coordinate on bundles on the core. So they blow up when I'm working relative to the Ramon, to the Osprey factors. It blows up when I turn off the bundle. Now, the fermions would give me pretty much the same answer, but I can couple them to an extra Q1 bundle, which doesn't talk to the symplectic bosons. I'll do so. Just to get a more interesting answer. Essentially, this new vertex algebra has a U1 global symmetry, which rotates A and B in opposite directions. I can compute the torus partition function twisted by the T1. It's a global symmetry, not a current.
So W is?
Right, so W is, think about it, is W1 plus tau W2. W1 and W2 are going to be the laws. But it's a global symmetry. Well, what sort of integration contours I can pick? Well, I can pick the integration contour on the A cycle, I can do an integral on the B cycle, or I can do an integral around the pole, pick up the residue. This one is actually the easiest to do. What is the residue of this expression? The theta function behaves like 1 over eta cubed times 1 over z. So I just get something like theta of W over eta cubed. And if you try to go look at which module, you know, how can I understand it from the point of view of this algebra? This actually turns out to be the trace. It is a character of some module for this algebra. It's a module where both zero modes act in a non-trivial way. Both zero modes act in a non-trivial way. So it's a module generated by some vector zero such that A zero, zero, and B zero, zero are non-zero. This theta function has a, if you expand it out, right, this becomes product of 1 minus W Q to the n, 1 minus W inverse Q to the n. And then, sorry, actually. Okay, I don't think there is a point discussing the details now, but. If you expand it out, you sort of see that there is a non-trivial, there are two vectors on top. And depending on how you expand it, you can interpret this as this module of graphs, the one of the zero axis. Sorry. If you do this, you'll get a trace over the vacuum module. If you do this, you get actually some non-trivial linear combination of these two. It's not obvious. Anyway, you can, I'm expressing myself pretty poorly here, but you can try to compute the conformal blocks independently in this description or as contour integrals, and you pretty much get the same answer.
I should also stress conformal locks of this represent match very well the mirror of the 3D theory. That this 3D theory with U1 acting as single hypermultiplet, the mirror is a single hypermultiplet. I should be seeing the B twist of the single hypermultiplet, which is pretty much a PSL 1-1 transformation theory. And so I'm just finding the perfect algebra for the transformation theory. So it's reasonable to say that conformal blocks of this smooth algebra are controlled by the corresponding transformation theory. So doing the calculations with the level of the vertex algebra definitely gives me the correct answer expected from the mirror. I would love to have somebody help me with confidence that if I do the calculation on the level of the field, this case, I will also get the correct answer.
What makes you doubt that this will be?
No, I don't know. I just do not know. The vertex algebra gets very complicated. But anyway, you can find in very simple examples things seem to be work. So this sort of conform you get vertex algebra, those conformal blocks seem to be indeed controlling the coincide with the space of states, say, of the A-trees of the Heliger theory. And whose modules seem to be reasonably connected to the space of lines to the 3D theory.
Can you write the gradient flows in 3D theory that correspond to these three?
Perhaps I mean you can try to identify the actual states. Well, sorry. Yeah, I don't know how to interpret this integration cycles as symbols in any sense. And this was also your question. There is a sort of more theory description of this integration cycles. I don't see.
But don't you get a basis of one cycles by symbols?
Yes, but these are symbols in an infinite dimensional space, right? So, right, so formally, you have symbols in the infinite dimensional space of Z's and A's. Here they have been sort of reduced to just cycles in Van G.
Right. Those symbols must be like gauge invariant, and you want to take the modulus.
I don't know what to say. I don't know how to connect more narratively. The usual intuition you have for symbols is also that you have a sort of potential which has nice critical points, right?
Right.
Or if it has a critical locus, you take a Lagrangian in the critical locus, and then you get a thimble out of that.
But
now here you have some sort of a funny cubic thing, right? Whose critical locus is what? It's del bar z equal to zero and zz bar equal to zero. Zz. The currents,
yeah.
J equal to zero.
Yeah. And then you take quotients by engagement.
But are there
quotients?
So typically, this has no solution. Okay, right. So typically, this the only solution of this is z equal to zero. Well, in the non-gauge case, for generic choice of bundle, fixed value of the bundle, this equation has a unique solution, which is z equal to zero. There was indeed a unique integration cycle, a unique conformal block, sort of the trivial one. And if your special point where there was a zero mode, then you had a whole C worth of classical solution, and you, or C2 worth of classical solution, whatever, and you had to find some integration contour in there. Which is what we are doing when we're discussing the zero mode. Now, when you gauge, now you're looking for solutions to these with any possible choice of bundle. right? So I can take a generic bundle and take z equal to zero. Or I can go to a place where I have at a special bundle where I have non-trivial zero modes. I can make some choices on how to integrate the zero modes, and then I need to pick some cohomology cycle in the space of bundles which allow those zero modes. Now, I think this is more or less what this is doing.
Yes.
Right. So if I do an integral like that, which just does not look at the singular locus at all, I guess that corresponds to symbols where I have a generic bundle and z equal to zero is a starting point.
Okay.
On the other hand, when I do a contour integral around a singularity, I think what I'm doing is to explore the place where I have a bundle which allows a zero mode, and I turn that zero mode on, I pick some contour in the space of zero modes, perhaps, I don't know, but restrict, right? I mean, if here was a one-dimensional situation, right? But if I'm in a situation of high dimension, an integration contour might be, I do a little loop around the singularity, and then I pick some contour along the singular locus.
Yes.
That's clearly a thimble where I'm associated to classical configurations where I'm on the singular locus for the bundle, and so I have zero modes for the. Okay, so I think
that looks okay, right?
Yes, I think so. So yeah, you're right. It's not that bad. It should be possible to think about this as symbols in a rather complete way.
Symbols, that's like space where you haven't imposed the equations of motion.
That's right.
Like that space is just like something like holomorphic maps from C to the stack C mod C star tested by a square root of the canonical bundle. It's like that critical set. Although I don't quite understand what the fermion's doing.
Well, they adjust your levels so that.
Yeah. It's like shifting the moment map equation.
Yeah, okay, so this is more or less all I know about the topic at the moment. As you see, there are a lot of sketchy pieces. But a lot of it looks ready to be formalized.